It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, Wisconsin's marriage equality story is over. The U.S. Supreme Court will not review the state's same-sex marriage ban case, meaning the two prior rulings that the ban was unconstitutional are now the law of the land.
First, it's harvest time in Wisconsin, and some strange crops are coming up in the Reedsburg area. Art exhibits, ballet, opera, musical performances, along with classes on things like pickling, farming, bioenergy, and more.
It's all part of the annual Fermentation Festival. The event kicked off this weekend and runs through next Monday. It's organized by the Worm Farm Institute based in Reedsburg. Donna Neuwirth is here with us in the studio. She's executive director and co-founder of the Worm Farm Institute. Donna, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, so a lot of stuff going on at the Fermentation Festival, but what is the overall goal? What are you trying to go for?
Well, we call it a live culture convergence, Fermentation Fest, a live culture convergence. And we mean live culture in all its forms, from pickles to poetry, from dance to sauerkraut. And the key, probably the highlight of the Fermentation Fest, is the farm art detour. We do have classes and workshops on how to ferment anything you can imagine, including chocolate and coffee and the obvious things like beer and wine and sauerkraut and kimchi. But the Farm Art Detour sort of puts the capital C in culture and brings people through a 50-mile self-guided drive through scenic working farmland, punctuated with temporary art installations, field notes, which are educational signs in farm fields, pasture performances, and more. And we use the word punctuate very deliberately because the 50 miles is actually 38 stops. So most of what you see is the land, the working land. So the sentence and the story and the narrative is actually the land itself. And we slow people down enough to be able to not only look at the artwork and watch the performances, but to immerse themselves in the land.
We'll dig into that a little more. But I know at the Worm Farm Institute, you promote a concept that you call the culture shed. What do we mean by that?
Well, when we first moved to Wisconsin about 20 years ago, we were very new farmers. We were former urban people that learned how to farm, and that's when the word food shed had just become well known. In fact, it was invented here at UW-Madison, and those of us who paid attention to environmental things knew about watersheds, and then food shed was this new word, and then what we cared about was, in addition to the food and the water, was the culture. And so we figured that that word was one that needed to be invented. And so it's something that takes the assets of the region and celebrates them.
Do you see a disconnect between food and farms on one side and the public on the other? Is it something you're trying to rectify?
Well, I think we need to reassert the word culture in agriculture. It's always been there. It always will be there. But I think we need to be reminded. I think the shift from agriculture to agribusiness has made us kind of a little bit further removed from the process. But I think now with the local food movement, and especially here in Madison, it's so strong and there's so much going on that it's an enormous opportunity to deepen the relationship between eaters and the people who manage the land, farmers and others.
So why, with something like the Farm Art Detour, why bring farming and art together?
Well, because I think they're always together. We're just revealing them. Uh-huh. And so I think what happens when people don't have barriers against art, and I think sometimes museums or galleries can be somewhat of a barrier. People feel perhaps unqualified or unwelcome in some of these places. But if you bring cultural expression and a realized vision to people, they respond. And so I think that this is a perfect example. And if you go on the drive, you'll see all kinds of people who perhaps would and perhaps wouldn't ever go into a museum or a gallery, but they respond to the work that the artists have done in the field.
And obviously you have a big vision for the Fermentation Festival, but I want to zoom in on the word fermentation and talk a little bit about, starting with square one, what is fermentation?
Well, fermentation is transformation. So whether it's from grain to beer or from milk to cheese or cabbage to kimchi, it's an ancient process that takes the abundance of the season and through this process of essentially controlled rot, enhances flavors, deepens nutrients, and in some cases, altered states of consciousness. Mm-hmm. But it is the breakdown of the fibers that releases energy and nutrients. And I'm not the technical person, so that's why we bring 40 different specialists to teach classes and workshops on the kind of complex yet ancient process of fermentation.
Well, I love how you run with the concept in artistic ways. I know an event on Saturday is a decomposition concert. So trying to apply the ideas of fermentation and breakdown to music. How does that work?
Well, that's been really fun. I mean, this actually started about 3 years ago, where we commissioned a composition on themes of decomposition and renewal. Mike Bell in Gramany here in Madison composed a symphony, a bluegrass symphony in the key of D. So literally a decomposition. But also the subject, its inspiration came from decomposition and renewal. And that served as what we call the starter culture for an ongoing annual event where new composers are invited in to take that initial decomposition, decompose and recompose it. So this will be the third iteration. And we're very excited because none of us have heard any of these compositions. And it's only one night, and it's on Saturday night at St. Boniface Church in Lime Ridge, Wisconsin. Population 200 and something.
So they literally take bits of the old music and however they might interpret that and create a new thing with it?
Yes, and I'm not the one to explain how they do it. They all do it in very, very different ways. But yes, you'll recognize some of the themes.
Do you think that the idea of fermentation, and you're talking about it metaphorically and poetically and all of these other aspects, but fermentation itself, do you think it's reaching a greater audience, that people are understanding what it is and wanting to get involved, and then maybe they'll go deeper with the cultural stuff you're describing?
Oh, definitely. I mean, the whole DIY culture, there's a whole generation of older people that have been doing this for years, and their knowledge and wisdom is being newly respected. And so that's a really interesting thing to see. So we see people in the classes anywhere from, 20 to 70, learning how to do what their parents used to do or what they had never heard of before. And the interest in health, of course, the probiotic qualities of fermentation are gaining enormous interest.
It's something old, new again, just like that composition, because for a lot of people, fermentation is this new, exciting, healthful thing. And then I think back and my grandparents make their own sauerkraut in a barrel.
Exactly.
Do you have a favorite fermented item?
Well, chocolate, of course.
Is chocolate actually fermented way we eat it, or do you do something special with it at the fest?
The cherry, the fruit stage, just like the coffee bean, needs to ferment and rot in order to be able to extract the bean that it then gets roasted. So that doesn't happen in this country. The fermentation happens where coffee and chocolate are grown.
But if we're eating chocolate, we're consuming fermented product, unless we're going on finding raw beans and chewing on them for some reason.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we'll come back and talk more about this. Right now, we're talking with Donna Neuwirth, Executive Director of the Worm Farm Institute. And we're talking about the Fermentation Fest in Reedsburg. It's going on right now, and it runs through next Monday.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you've been there already, tell us what you've seen. If you've gotten into fermentation at home or maybe in your business, tell us about your latest project, and you can share your love for the culture and landscape of rural Wisconsin, too. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue that conversation coming up.
First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Veronica and I reminding you now that you, the listener, are the single largest source of funding here at WPR. This drive is your chance to support all of the programs you enjoy. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Little update here for you. Last hour, we heard from 58 listeners. So thank you so much for those pledges. Our goal this hour is to get 23 pledges.
And you'll want to make that pledge because your gift of any amount automatically enters you in a drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. Help us meet this goal. Get entered into that drawing by making a contribution now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you might wonder, what does my pledge pay for? Well, we have toll-free numbers, so you can call in your questions. And we rely on newspapers, magazine subscriptions, internet subscriptions, so that we can research the topics of the day. All these things and so many more, they have costs. Your pledge at WPR or 888-202-2552 helps pay for them.
Everyone who pledges this drive will be entered into that drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip you would choose should you win: the Rhine River, Alaska, or France. You could be the lucky winner when you make a pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You don't have to pledge to participate. You can send a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone number to WPR Trip Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Enter by sending a postcard or, better yet, by making a pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, Peter. What's happening? We have a sort of a problem here. Yeah. You apparently didn't put one of the new cover sheets on your TPS report.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. I forgot.
Okay, I'll expect that on my desk in a few minutes.
Ugh, I'll just turn on WPR. Take my mind off that situation.
17 of those are new members. We love it.
We're looking for your pledge of support.
Oh, man, pledge drive. I can't catch a break. Jeez Louise, they have thousands and thousands of donors. They gotta be rolling in dough. Why do they keep on asking?
Well, because, Peter, the quality programs you enjoy on WPR cost quite a bit of money.
What? Okay, but you keep on boasting like you have like 50,000 members. Isn't that enough?
We really appreciate all of our members, but we're doing a lot of new things right now. I mean, think about the internet streaming that you're listening to.
Well, it's free, right?
It's free for you, but not for us. We're really happy that so many listeners use it, and the more who use it, the more bandwidth we need, so the more it costs. With every new innovation like this, our mobile app, our new website, new shows, everything adds up.
Okay, I get it. It takes a lot of money.
So make your contribution to WPR, Peter, and then you can get back to that TPS report cover sheet.
We really are talking to you. Don't make us come through the radio. Pledge now. Here's someone to tell you how.
Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 at Central Time. Rob and Veronica asking for your support of WPR during this fall membership drive. Maybe your gift will be $10 a month or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, it's the right amount.
Becoming a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio is a fantastic thing to think about. Once you set up a comfortable monthly amount from your bank or credit card, your support goes right to work toward the programming that you appreciate.
Yeah, and because your sustaining donation automatically renews each year, your support will always be current. You don't have to wonder, is it time to give again? Become a sustainer right now with a gift of $5 or $10 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Here's a question for you. What does public radio mean? Well, public radio means listener-supported radio.
Well, we do appreciate things like business contributions and the federal and state tax dollars we get. Listener support is the single largest source of WPR's budget. Your contribution of any amount really matters. It really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We know you're busy, and here's the good news. Giving to WPR is easy. All it takes is a few minutes of your time, a gift of any amount, maybe $10 a month.
That donation will come back to you every day in the form of great programs. Show your support right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
You support the things that make your life more meaningful. Well, Wisconsin Public Radio is one of those things. Here you get information about events in our region, like the Fermentation Fest and events in the world, and you also get music and humor and storytelling.
You'll want lots of news and information in this coming year, and your support now makes that possible. Your pledge in any amount really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are still looking for 19 more pledges to go in the next 40 minutes. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 really helps and enters you in a drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. And sustainers, don't worry, you're automatically entered.
And pledge now and ask for the WPR logo secure ID tags with a gift of $5 a month. That's $60 or more. They're kind of like a luggage tag, but they're better. They're smaller. They don't show your contact info to everybody.
You just put one on your key ring, stick the other on your phone, and if you lose one of those items, they'll have a way back to you. You can ask for these tags when you pledge $5 a month at $60 or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Off to a good start. Four pledges already this hour. Looking for 19 more by the end of the hour. You can do it. You can help us meet this important goal and support Wisconsin Public Radio with the pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We're talking about the Fermentation Fest going on now in Reedsburg. Donna Neuwirth is with us. She's executive director of the Worm Farm Institute.
And you can join us. Have you gotten into fermentation at home lately? Have you checked out the farm, Art Detour, this year? Or in years past, any highlights that you'd like to share? Do you think maybe we've gotten too distracted, too disconnected from our food and the farms that it comes from? Call now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And Donna, we heard a Facebook comment from Amy. She writes, "The farm art detour combined with the hilly landscape and fall foliage, amazing. Can you give us a taste, a sense of what we'll see if we go on the detour?"
Well, pictures are worth a thousand words, especially in this instance. There are eight different art installations by artists from as far away as California, New York, as well as Wisconsin, and they defy description. Some of them are sort of arising out of the landscape, and some are sort of tucked in. There are field notes, which are signs that tell people about hay and corn and dairy and land ethic. There are what we call farm forms, and those are constructions by non-farmers, by landowners. And they're something that's happened just this past couple of years. Things just show up that are not on the map, and so we call them rogue installations. And we're seeing more and more of them, and they can be anything from a hay bale sculpture that a farmer or a landowner has done to a collection of tractors. There's actually a collection of 22 tractors that are parked in a line. So it's sort of deeply cultural in the very broadest sense. And I think you sort of have to see it.
Yeah, you said that the art sort of punctuates the story that the land tells, and it is a special landscape. We had poet Max Garland join us a while back, and he wrote a piece for the Fermentation Fest called Cultivating Wonder about just sort of an ode to the beauty of that driftless area. What do you think is so special about it?
Well, wasn't that beautiful essay, first of all?
Yeah,
fantastic. It was just, he exactly gets it. Well, I mean, it's the edge of the driftless region, and so, it's very hilly, but it's also working farmland. And a lot of the farmland, because it's hilly, has conservation issues. And so then some of the farmers that use good conservation practices and keep erosion under control, these are also highlighted through the field notes. And so it's something that most of us, especially those of us who grew up in cities, don't realize. And so I think if you look at very flat fields in Nebraska, they don't have the same issues as the hilly landscape in Wisconsin. And also people travel this 50-mile route, and they'll see every possible kind of farm. There's small organic farms, there's Amish farms, there's what might be considered a CAFO. There is a whole spectrum of farming just within this 49 miles.
What is a CAFO?
A controlled animal feeding operation. It's a larger farm. It's a 1,000-cow dairy, but some people think that that's maybe something that they don't want, and I think it's better for people to know.
So you got a big spectrum of all kinds of agriculture right there.
Well, I wonder, you said you were originally from an urban area. What was it about the landscape and farming in that part of Wisconsin that sang out to you and made you move there and settle there?
Well, we came from Chicago, and it's very flat, and I think I did not realize how beautiful Wisconsin was. And so we just took a drive one day, and we were infatuated, and that infatuation led to kind of a deep and permanent love. And we'd been here for quite a while and committed our lives to this place. But again, a place, as Max Garland talks about, is very, very powerful. I mean, the ancient history, the Ho-Chunk in the region, the man mound that he so eloquently talks about, the active and thriving farmland, but also the farming is going through great shifts. And so there's the average age of the farmer is very high, but there's this new young interest by young people in farming. And we are the backyard of Madison. So I think these rural rings around cities are very, very important. And one of the things that we're very excited about on Sunday evening, it's called a panel discussion called The Art of the Rural, Creating Thriving Places Beyond the City. And all the issues connected to anything about sustainability are ones that we deal with every day and ones that you in cities deal with every day through us. And so I think the more that we can connect across the urban-rural continuum, the better the health of the cities and the rural areas.
Now, we've talked some about the art. We've talked about the decomposition concert. Let's talk about the food. What kinds of food can people sample, fermented and otherwise?
Well, we have, along the detour, there are three what we call food chain stops. And they have, two out of three have roadside culture stands, which are artist-designed and built mobile farm stands, all made by different artists, and they're all very different. And some will sell sauerkraut, someone will sell soap, some will sell jelly. We also have bread and cheese. The Carr Valley Cheese Factory is actually on the route itself, so you can actually go into the cheese factory. Cedar Grove Cheese, which is also very nearby, sells out of one of the culture stands. We also have a couple of other food trucks, because that's been something that we've learned over time, is that people take 5 or 6 hours to do the detour and get very, very hungry. And the small towns that we bring people through, and this, again, is a very, very important part of what we do, is bring people through these smaller towns so they can benefit by everyone's curiosity about the land and about the detour. And we want the benefits to be left with them, but sometimes they can't keep up with it. So we're supplementing with more food from the food trucks.
I think I saw the phrase on your website somewhere, a rural renaissance. Are we on the verge of some kind of rural renaissance here in Wisconsin?
Well, I think so. I mean, we've been operating a residency program, an artist residency program on our farm for 15 years now. And so we have artists that come from across the country that spend anywhere from 2 weeks to 5 or 6 months with us. And not only are they looking for a time and place to do their own work, but they're also looking for ways to live. And just as Jay and I, when we moved here, looked for a different way to live, and the options in rural areas are enormous. And now that we are so connected, I mean, we're as connected as you are with broadband internet. And so I think the possibilities for revitalizing and creating thriving rural places is greater now than it's been in my memory anyway.
Donna, thanks so much for coming up to the studio today.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Donna Newworth, Executive Director of the Worm Farm Institute, looking at the Fermentation Fest going on now through next Monday in Reedsburg. For more info, we have a link on the Central Time Facebook page. Central Time producer Chris Molina joins us in the studio. It is Wisconsin Public Radio's fall membership drive. We're reminding you that your support is an essential piece of the funding for all the programs you enjoy on WPR. This drive is the time for you to take some action. Become a Wisconsin Public Radio contributor with your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we've already heard from 10 people this hour, 10 people who have taken that action, but we're still looking for 13 more pledges in the next half an hour. Here's a great reason to give.
You pledge any amount and you're automatically entered to win 2 tickets on a WPR trip. You could choose between a holiday tour of Europe along the Rhine River, an Alaskan adventure, or a trip to France.
Hey, and thank you so much if you've already given, but if you haven't, help us stay on track and enter the drawing. But you can only do it when you make your contribution right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Here on Central Time, you get the news of the day analysis, find out how it affects us here in Wisconsin, things like today's Supreme Court non-decision on whether to take up a same-sex marriage, but also interesting topics that connect us with Wisconsin and beyond. Things like talking about the Fermentation Festival just now, poet Max Garland's love letter to the Wisconsin rural and farm landscape, great book recommendations from Steve Paulson, great music recommendations from people like Stephen Thompson of NPR Music. So much great information, pop culture and beyond, all coming to you each and every afternoon here on Central Time.
And Rob and Veronica and myself and the entire production team, we're so happy to bring these hours of great radio programming to you. But it's not us that makes these hours possible. It's you. Listener support is the single biggest piece of our funding here at Wisconsin Public Radio. With that in mind, we're asking you to make that contribution. Help make Central Time happen. Help make great radio happen every afternoon at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you can make a 9XM leadership contribution of $100 a month or more. Listeners who rely on Wisconsin Public Radio are the most dependable source of income for the station, and 9XM members are a really important part of that picture.
Help us stay strong and continue to grow with a leadership gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We all value the beautiful environment we enjoy here in Wisconsin. The parks and forests, rivers, the landscapes are some of the best things about living here.
Well, we like to think of WPR as a natural resource, too, something that's available to everyone, something that's fundamental to living in Wisconsin. You know, with your pledge, you, yes, you keep WPR a strong resource that everyone can enjoy. So we're asking you to please contribute right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Bonjour, I'm Judith Sears Poisson, encouraging you to join me on a trip to France. Make a pledge of any amount during this membership drive, and you'll be entered to win a trip for two. If you win, you'll have three trips to choose from. But of course, I hope you'll choose France. We'll tour Paris, Normandy, and Brittany in May. We'll sample wine, cheese, and pastries, and we'll walk through beautiful villages steeped in history. Your pledge of any amount gets you entered, but no contribution is necessary to win. Find the details and the fine print at WPR.org/drawing. Or enter with your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Bonne chance et à bientôt.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this fall membership drive. Robin Veronica here with Central Time producer Chris Molina asking for your support of WPR. Your gift of $10 a month or $15 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount.
You know, think back for just a second as to how you found Wisconsin Public Radio. Maybe you listened to WPR in school or as a kid. You know, maybe you were listening in the backseat of the car with mom and dad. You know, maybe you didn't like it then, but maybe you love it now. Maybe you found us on your own later in life. Whatever way you found us, you probably want to see WPR continue. It's an important part of your life, and it's an important part of Wisconsin.
If you've never given before, now is the time to do your part. It's never too late to make that first contribution. Maybe start with $5 a month. It's easy, doesn't take long. Just go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And listeners do provide the single biggest piece of our budget pie here at Wisconsin Public Radio. So make that pledge of $5 or $10 a month. You know, the important part is that you find the amount that's comfortable for you, and you'll be doing your part to help keep the station strong. You can help with your pledge of any amount. Just find the amount that works for you and then make the pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are about halfway to our goal for this hour, looking for 12 more pledges by 4 o'clock. You can help us meet this very important hourly goal. Here's an extra little reason to do it. When you pledge any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you will be entered in a drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. And sustainers, we've got you covered. You are automatically entered in that drawing.
And during this pledge drive, we're offering something very useful for your pledge of $5 a month or more. Ask for the handy WPR logo secure ID tags. You'll put one on your key ring and stick the other one to your phone.
Then if you ever lose your phone or your keys, these tags will help you get them back. Protect your stuff and your public radio station when you pledge $5 a month, that's $60 or more, and ask for the ID tags at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when you make that pledge, consider becoming a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's convenient for you, and it provides reliable funding for WPR. You can set up ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Doreen from Daggett, Michigan says, I love WPR. I listen to and from my job as a nurse. It inspires me on my way to work and helps me decompress on my way home. I learn something every time I listen. Thank you, Doreen, so much for making that pledge. Now, how about you? Join Doreen and everyone else who's pledged already in this fall membership drive. Support great conversations on Central Time and the rest of Wisconsin Public Radio with a pledge now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you. Wisconsin's marriage equality story is apparently over. Any two people of consenting age in the Badger State can now get married. That's the result of the U.S. Supreme Court's decision this morning not to take up State Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen's appeal.
District Judge Barbara Crabb ruled this past June that Wisconsin's ban on same-sex marriage was unconstitutional. Van Hollen appealed that decision to the 7th District Court in Chicago, which upheld Judge Crabb's ruling.
Van Hollen hoped that the U.S. Supreme Court would again consider the case, but it has chosen not to, declining that appeal along with cases from four other states. That means that Judge Crabb's ruling is the law of the land in Wisconsin. Same-sex marriages are legal and constitutional.
WPR State Capitol reporter Sean Johnson was at the Dane County Courthouse in Madison this morning after the news broke, and he joins us now. Welcome, Sean.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Great to hear you. Well, we heard this morning that the Supreme Court would not take up same-sex marriage appeals from any state. What does that mean today here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, for such a huge decision, it was pretty unceremonious. The Supreme Court didn't issue an opinion. It didn't even have any explanation of its ruling. It just had a list of cases that it would not be hearing. Wisconsin's was on that list. So that means that the lower court's decisions in the Wisconsin case stand. In this case, a district court with Judge Barbara Crabb ruled earlier this year that Wisconsin's gay marriage ban was unconstitutional. That went to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, which also ruled that Wisconsin's gay marriage ban was unconstitutional. The Supreme Court had a chance to weigh in on that. They decided not to. But in deciding not to, I mean, they made a pretty big decision. They decided that those lower court orders would stand. And so now that's the law of the land in Wisconsin.
In not deciding, they effectively decided.
And it was a huge non-decision. One line in a very lengthy list of cases that they wouldn't take, and they made history.
And you've been down at the Dane County Courthouse today. What was the scene like? What did you see?
Yeah, I didn't camp out there as long as some other reporters did. I can tell you that in the time that I was there, it was nothing like in June when the district court issued its initial order in this case. When Judge Crabb ruled the marriage ban unconstitutional, there was just this huge crowd, this lengthy celebration that spanned really a week. But especially in those first couple days, you just had couple after couple going to the courthouse and getting married right there in the front steps. At that time, there was some question over, well, you know, will a higher court turn this off right away? I mean, will they vacate Barbara Crabb's order? When could that happen? It could happen any moment. And so people who wanted to, the security of marriage, people who wanted to be married, jumped at that possibility. There's no such urgency now. The Supreme Court's order isn't going anywhere. I mean, I don't see this being undone. I mean, there's possibilities that it could be, theoretically, but even Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen, who defended the marriage ban in court, said that this is the law of the land now, essentially. I mean, Van Hollen's statement essentially said that it's now our job to help institute this law.
Now, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel was reporting that clerks in Madison and Milwaukee will be issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples should they wish to get married. Is this true across the rest of the state already as well?
I saw scattering reports of some clerks taking more of a wait-and-see approach. I know that when we talked to the clerks in Milwaukee County and in Madison and in Dane County today, they said they talked to their corporation counsel, and it wasn't even a close call. I mean, they viewed it as a very clear, step by the U.S. Supreme Court that they were to start issuing licenses today. And so then anybody that wanted them, Dane County Clerk Scott McDonald said they would issue them as soon as somebody walked in the door, they would start that process for getting a marriage license.
And is there any kind of wait should someone come to apply right now? Usually, I gather there's a 7-day wait until you can actually make it official.
From what McDonald told me, it's going to be more the conventional time frame. Because there's no rush now, because people aren't trying to get married before another court order comes down and takes away that right, and because. For example, in Dane County, they don't have a bunch of officiants there waiting at the door to marry people. At least in Dane County, they were telling people, look, we're going to proceed as anyone else would here. And so we'll see how that plays out. I know that at least today there were a lot more reporters down at the city county building than there were couples looking to get married.
And how has Wisconsin's Justice Department responded so far to the news?
They said in an order that... they acknowledged that Barbara Crabb's order from earlier this summer, District Judge Barbara Crabb's order, now stood, and that was what DOJ was now going to enforce. One question that is left unresolved, if you, you know, most of it's pretty unambiguous, but there is some question about what about those 500 or so couples who got married earlier this summer after Judge Crabb issued her ruling. Are they married in the eyes of the state? Governor Walker was asked about that today. He had no comment on it. We posed that question to the Department of Justice, Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen's office. They had no comment on that. And so the ACLU said at their press conference today, they firmly believe those people are married. We have not heard the state of Wisconsin respond to that point specifically today.
And in terms of the ruling overall, or not lack of ruling, I guess I should say, what did J.B. Van Hollen and Governor Walker say about it?
Governor Walker voted for the same-sex marriage ban in 2006. He's been a supporter of it. He's been with J.B. Van Hollen on this, defending the lawsuit. But he said today, talking to reporters, that as far as he was concerned, his quote was, "For us, it's over in Wisconsin," talking about the fight over gay marriage. He said that we're not going to look back. He said today, we're just going to enforce the law as we said we would all along. If that's what the court ruled, that's what we're doing. Scott Walker is obviously in a campaign right now. His Democratic opponent, Mary Burke, called the ruling an important step forward for Wisconsin. Burke said, quote, "No loving, committed couple should ever be denied the freedom to marry." She wanted to say, quote, "Those who have stood in the way of this progress, including Governor Walker, are squarely on the wrong side of history."
Does this change anything as you see it in the November election, that this is now a done deal?
I don't know. I mean, I think there's a couple schools of thought on that. If public opinion, you know, it seems pretty clearly the public opinion is shifting to support marriage equality and to support same-sex marriage. And because that's, you know, you could say, well, Democrats have held that opinion since before it was popular. And so there's an argument to be made that they might reap the rewards from that electorally this November. There's another school of thought that says Republicans, if they were standing in the way of something, well, they're not anymore in Wisconsin because the Supreme Court took care of that. So, you know, voting for Mary Burke or voting for a Democratic attorney general candidate isn't going to, you know, change anything on this particular issue in terms of how this legal battle proceeds.
That was 8 years ago that the state constitution was changed to put the ban into place. What factors do you think led to this, you know, abrupt turnaround now?
That is really hard to put your finger on. I mean, there has been kind of, it really felt like an abrupt changing of opinion here on this issue. I mean, if you watched public opinion on this, it did seem to be veering toward more and more support of same-sex marriage. But even a couple of years ago, I know supporters of same-sex marriage who fought this referendum said, if we held another vote today, it'd be close. But I'm not sure how we do. I think where we stand today, if you took this, the court's ruling aside and just put it before the public again, I think they'd feel pretty good about their chances. So, I don't know what we can put our finger on one event that happened. And it's certainly not Wisconsin-centric. I mean, you see this happening all over the country.
Well, Sean, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks a lot.
That was WPR State Capitol reporter Sean Johnson talking about the U.S. Supreme Court's decision not to hear the appeal of Wisconsin's same-sex marriage case, making marriages between any two consenting people in Wisconsin legal.
Coming up, we'll talk with migrant farmer turned musician Chris Plaza about the challenges of growing up in a family of migrant workers and the music that got them through the tough times.
But first, I'm Veronica Rickert here with Chris Molina. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Listeners like you are such an important source of WPR's income. Your gift takes just a few minutes of your time, and it keeps this program going strong. So invest in your future listening now at WPR.org or 888-202. 2552.
And Veronica, we've already heard from 15 members this hour making their pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. We're looking for 8 more in about the next 10 minutes or so. And here's a great reason to become a member.
Give any amount and you're entered to win 2 tickets on a WPR trip. You'd get to choose if you win, cruise along the Rhine River in Europe, discover Alaska, or sample the French lifestyle.
You know, there's really not a bad option in that bunch. Thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, the time is right now. Give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
In that last segment, we heard about the latest on the same-sex marriage topic here in Wisconsin, apparently decided for the time being. We've been tracking that over the past couple of months here in Central Time as it broke. We were on the air when the first news with Barbara Crabb broke. So we're right here. We want to keep you informed, in touch with what's going on, and that's what's part of what we do here on Central Time.
And it's not just the breaking news, too. We bring you interesting cultural stories, you know, things that are happening, you know, maybe in your life. You know, we try to cover as much as we can here, stuff that, you know, interests us outside of the news cycle. But, you know, it's listener support that makes these topics, the topics that we cover every day on this show, possible. So we're asking for your support. Choose a gift amount that works for you and then make your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
When you listen to WPR, you can be assured that we always have your interests at heart. We can continue to serve our listeners and communities because of the support we get from members, including the 600 members of WPR's 9XM Leadership Circle.
And 9XM members support WPR with gifts of $1,200 or more each year. To make this leadership gift of $100 a month, go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
I'm Bill from Wausau, Wisconsin, and I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too. I think it's important because things are said and done on the radio that are important, that need to be said, that we don't get on any other radio station. I listen to it all the time. It's on the car, it's on the radio in the morning when we get up, and it's on all day practically, and it's just the way we live. I know that the money is going to be well used. It's a valuable service, and I just feel good about it.
Make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Veronica here with producer Chris Molina asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during this fall membership drive. Whether your pledge is $5 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we honestly do count on your gift.
It's true, and supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is such a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time. We're going to make it as easy on you as we possibly can. All we're going to need is your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay for it.
Your gift supports the stories and the programs that keep you connected to the world. So give now, make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We're still looking for 8 more pledges in about the next 3 or 4 minutes.
You know, think about your history with Wisconsin Public Radio. You know, maybe you remember listening to WPR as a kid, or, you know, maybe your kids are listeners. Maybe there are programs out there that they really enjoy listening to.
Whether it's an interesting story on NPR News, a piece of music, or laughing along with the weekend shows, WPR caught your imagination as a child and it engages the minds of kids today.
And it's all possible because you are our support. You participate as a member. You are essential in making all of this great radio happen. Because of that, we're asking you to give, and to give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just 8 more pledges is all we need to make our goal for this hour of 23 more pledges, 23 total, and you can help us get there in the next few minutes. Make that call, make that pledge.
And when you give, you'll be entered in a drawing for 2 tickets on a WPR trip of your choice. A pledge of any amount is your chance to enjoy European towns along the Rhine River or explore Alaska, or hey, how about France?
Make your donation now. Get entered in that drawing at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And maybe you've never given before. Well, new members are an important part of these fund drives, and we're talking to you out there. Every single member makes a difference because listener support is such an important part of the funding that makes WPR programs possible.
Whether you tune in for one favorite program or you find yourself checking in throughout the day or the week, you're getting value from what you hear. If you've never given before, start off with a pledge, maybe a $5 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you're on the opposite end of the spectrum. Maybe you're a sustainer. You've already given this drive, or you renew your membership in the mail. If that's the case, thank you so much. We sure do appreciate your support.
that there's still something more you can do to help. Encourage a friend to join the Wisconsin Public Radio community. Sometimes we just need a nudge from a friend to get us to do the right thing.
You know, help us grow our members. Motivate a friend to make a pledge right now. Tell them to join the family of members we have here at WPR, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And as the clock ticks on, we are looking for 7 more pledges in the next couple minutes. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It really helps, and it enters you in a drawing for 2 tickets on a WPR trip. And sustainers, you're automatically entered.
And we've got something else going on too right now. Make that pledge and ask for the WPR Logo Secure ID tags with your gift of $5 a month. That's $60 or more. These tags are similar to a luggage tag, but better because they're smaller and don't show your contact info.
Just put one on your key ring, stick the other on your phone, and if you lose one, they're going to find a way back to you. And you can ask for these tags with a pledge of $5 a month, $60 or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. The important thing is to make that pledge, become a member, step up because you listen and you enjoy what you hear and it matters in your life. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.